All right, Kurt, here we are, episode 2. We've got Holly Rademacher from our database team here on with us. She's going to talk a little bit about reorganized physical file member, which is something I've never heard of, which is kind of embarrassing because I'm a database access specialist. And, you know, that's kind of adjacent to the database skill.
Right.
So I'm very interested to know what reorganized physical file member is, why I would use it, and why customers would be interested to know more about it.
You know, you mentioned that reorganized physical file member is kind of new to you. And Holly, you've been here for, what, 25, 26 years now?
Just celebrated my 25-year anniversary in May.
And I would say that you are new to me because we've been in the same center for all that time. And I don't think you and I ever sat down and talked to each other probably more than 3 or 4 times. So I'm really interested to learn, before we get into reorganized physical file member, which, I mean, let's face it, database is the most important part of the system. But before we get into that, I'd love to learn more about you just personally and kind of how you started at IBM. When did you decide you wanted to get a job with in computing?
I had always wanted to be an elementary ed teacher.
Oh, that's funny. That's,
really?
that's what my wife does.
Since I was very young. And then about a few months before graduation, I decided to go into computer science. I found it just interesting. And so I made the switch to computer science while attending Mankato State University. And after my first year, I decided I didn't like the programming aspect. Sitting down and missing that semicolon, not being able to get my program to compile. So I made a switch to MIS, or Management Information Systems.
There's a joke I saw one time that said, who will win, 10 engineers with 200 years computing experience or a semicolon?
Welcome to You, Me, and IBMI.
So a lot with SQL, a lot with databases is my degree.
So you went into college to Mankato. You're going to be an early ed. You enrolled at Mankato as computer science and then switched to MIS then.
I did. And we were starting the interview process my senior year. And my roommate's dad was a manager here in the support center.
And oh, really?
They had came down to visit and had just said, oh, hey, you should apply at IBM. And so I did, and here I am.
Wow. Okay. So, because growing up, I didn't know anybody that worked at IBM. But like in town in Rochester here, there's a lot of people who work here. Well, like in development, we have 2 developers. There's a dad, and now his son works here. And so your roommate's father worked at IBM as a manager.
Yep. And her brother. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So Paul Steinmetz.
Yeah.
I roomed with his sister.
Oh,
Paul's
that's
my manager.
Yep.
That's so interesting. It's such a small world. Yeah.
You've got some kids that are, I don't know, around college age. Would you have any advice? I mean, are they going to go into IT, for example?
My oldest is going through the electrical apprenticeship in Rochester.
Okay.
So he's currently working for the union, going through his training. My middle one is in environmental law enforcement, so going into DNR.
Oh, cool.
My youngest, who's a sophomore in high school, wants to do the gaming, right? Create games and go into IT. And I am trying to sway his direction a little.
Towards something more with better remuneration. I mean, my understanding of the video game industry is, you know, there's so many kids that are willing, that want to be involved in that industry that they can get away with paying them very low. A database, you know, my kids are not terribly interested in large databases or SQL or anything. They'd rather play video games, but I try to explain to them, look, this is a very specialized field of knowledge, and you can get paid better doing this than you would get paid diagnosing bugs in a video game program.
Right.
I haven't been successful yet, but that's really interesting that you're having that same issue with your youngest.
Doesn't every teenage boy want to just be a gamer?
Right. Yeah, it seems like it.
And with AI, it's hard to know how our industry is going to change over the next 5 to 10 years.
Well, it is interesting how our children choose to get involved in. Sometimes they follow what we do and other times they don't. You know, you had mentioned, though, that your son was in the Electrician's Apprentice Program. And immediately when I'm thinking about apprenticeships, you know, we don't have apprenticeships here, but we do have mentors that when we start in support, they partner us up with people who have been here for a long time, who know what they're doing. Were there people that when you started in database, were the people that guided you through and kind of, you know, took it when you were just starting and made it a better place to work, Holly?
Oh, absolutely. I started when we had offices and we had to share with a roommate. And my roommate was Christy Edwards.
Oh.
And to this day, we will often get confused for one another. So there are a few people that they will start talking to me and I'm confused of what they were saying. And, oh, you're really thinking of Christy.
That's funny.
And she will often get called Holly. So it's just funny. We started, you know, she was a year ahead of me. We were office mates, but other than that, we don't look anything alike and we still get confused for one another.
That's pretty unfair because there are a lot more men working in the support center than women. There are a lot of women working here too, but there are a lot more men than women.
Yep, we can't figure it out, but who knows?
Well, maybe you're both kind people and people just, get confused by that.
Distinguish.
We'll go with that.
So was Christy one of the people who was your mentor in the database area to kind of get you started with that?
Yep.
Oh, she was. See, I didn't remember that she worked in database.
That's where she started.
Christy's in performance now, right?
Correct. Yeah, she moved over, maybe 15 years ago, so.
Yeah.
So what were some of the things that you remember when you were first starting that were, you know, kind of situations you got into with database, where if you got a call, you'd be like, I need to go for this kind of thing, I need to go talk to somebody else, or was there?
I am not a communications person. And back when I started, database supported our DRDA protocol, and our expert was Jim Hall. And anytime I would get a DRDA question, I would pull him in because he was definitely the expert at that time.
And Alex, you work with DRDA now, right?
Yeah, so my team, Database Access, we took over DRDA must have been 5 or 10 years ago now, and at least 10 years ago now. And it makes sense, right? I mean, we're already supporting JDBC and ODBC connectivity to the IBMI. Why not support DRDA as well? And it's been great. A lot of interesting new cases have come in on that subject. I wish I knew more about database, though. We're a little bit siloed here, but database is one subject that is broadly applicable for a lot of different platforms. You know, if you know about SQL, for example, then you can utilize that knowledge on all kinds of different platforms. So,
well, you know, I was going to say years ago, I was talking to this customer and it was a print case, but a database was involved. And he said to me, look, he said, basically the S400 is just DB2 with a bunch of other thrown in for free. And I have never forgotten that because the more I get into any specific area with IBMI support, whether it's BRMS, Save Restore, print, everything always comes down to database. And today you wanted to talk about reorg physical file member. What is that?
Yeah, so as users are inserting data into your files, deleting data, you are have deleted records, this unused space in your database files. And the reorg physical file member will compress those deleted records, and so you only have valid records. So performance could be improved. You regain space that you may not be using in your files. And it's that time of year where people are looking at doing yearly jobs and purging data and running reorgs.
You know, it is December, right? And it seems like a lot of IT shops are freezing their configuration, right? They don't want to renew all their SSL certificates the week before Christmas because if something goes wrong, you know, half the IT staff is going to miss Christmas. But you're saying that reorg fiscal file member, that is something that people do normally do at this point of the year?
It's part of their, whether it's the end of the year, first of the year, anytime, depending upon the client and shop, will start running reorgs now through, you know, February, March kind of timeframe. They're planning, they're looking at what files they need to run the reorg on and preparing.
And are these always large tables, or would you want to run a reorg on a relatively small table on your system as well?
Our rule of thumb is if you have 20% of your file deleted, it would be beneficial to run a reorg on.
Are there any risks to running a reorg physical file member that an administrator would need to be aware of before they kicked one off?
The reorgs can be long running, and there are different parameters that would require you to have an exclusive lock, or users could read the file while it was running, or possibly you want to allow the users full access to the file, and you could, you know, run the reorg in the background. So lots of things to consider as to how you run the reorg command.
I'm trying to visualize this, Holly, and the thing that keeps coming into my head is Windows defrag, where the more you use it, the files kind of get spread out, some get deleted, and when you'd go and look at it, there'd be all this myriad of little color blocks all over the place, and you'd run defrag, and everything kind of gets put in order. Is that what this is?
Similar, yes. We carve out a space for your files, and your records are using that space. And when you read the file, we have to read through this entire space. And as records are deleted and reinserted, you do have sections of that file that is unused, and you're getting rid of that space.
So when you're using a database, and let's say you put an entry in something and there's a member in there, so you're not reusing that space that the members took up when you add a new member to the file?
When you insert a row or you add a member, and that space we carve out and we extend as we need. But correct, any data files or data records we will keep as part of that file for the life, unless you would to run reorg, and that will only clean up deleted records.
Well, it's interesting that you'd say that, because I was talking to one of the BRMS developers, and he said the BRMS will actually reuse the deleted records. Is that because maybe the way that the data is stored, it's all the same length, or what allows that to be able to happen?
So you can have a parameter on your file that has reuse deleted records set to yes, and that allows the system to reuse deleted records. It is not a guarantee. So because of performance reasons, if it's going to be faster for the system to insert to the end of the file, we will do that. We will not always reuse a deleted record. And so there are reasons why we still need to add to the end of the file.
Yeah.
And based on how you use your file, you may delete more than you insert. And so you still may need to run reorg, even though you have reused deleted records turned on.
That sounds like a really smart design where, if possible, do it. But if it's going to be a performance issue, then just add it to the end.
Holly, you had mentioned that sometimes these can run a long time. Is there any way to get an estimate of how long it would take to run one of these?
Yeah, so for a reorg with the parameter allow cancel no, we will make a copy of your file and only copy out the good records. And then we kind of delete your old file and rebuild any indexes or access paths that you had over your original file. That's kind of the old fashioned way of doing the reorg. And you can certainly estimate how you run that by doing a copy yourself, by rebuilding your indexes, you'd get a good idea of how long that would take. With release 5.3, we came out with a reorg while active, which is the allow cancel yes parameter. And instead of making a copy, the system is actually moving records within your file. And our goal is to get all of the deleted records to the bottom. So we just have to end or move our end of file indicator and give you back that space.
And let's say you've kicked off one of these and, you know, it's 40 minutes into it now. Users want to get back on the system. Maybe you're doing this while the system is in production mode anyway. But let's say you're getting tired of waiting for the reorg to finish. Is there any way to cancel it? Is it even safe to cancel it before it finishes?
If you use the allow cancel no parameter, I know the parameter seems a bit insinuating that you cannot cancel.
Right, right. Yeah, that's what I was going to say. It sounds like, yeah. No, you can't cancel this.
You can cancel it. It means that you've lost everything that was done, right? We are making a copy of your file, and we can't keep that half copied file around for you to start over right next. So it will require us to rebuild anything that needs to be rebuilt, but you can cancel. The allow cancel yes, because we are moving records around, you cancel it, you don't lose what we've done. Our records are still moved. And the next time you kick it off, hopefully we will have less records to move.
Sounds like in both cases, the way that you're doing the reorg is you're copying it, but when you're doing it while it's active, you're not able to copy it all at one time. So you're just able to copy it when what? It's not certain parts of the file are not being locked.
It is not. With allow cancel no, we make a copy. And users cannot be using the file. We need an exclusive lock. It's locked down because we're making a copy of that file.
Oh, okay.
When you use allow cancel yes, we don't copy anymore. We are moving records.
Okay.
So a good example, and it's one I often use, let's just assume that you have 100 records and your first record is deleted. If you use allow cancel yes with a key file parameter of none, which means I need to keep this file in arrival sequence, the system starts from the top and moves record 2 to 1, 3 to 2, 4 to 3, as it's working its way down the file. We have to touch 99 records, and we move 99 records to get the one record to the bottom, and then we can give you back your space. If you use the allow cancel yes with the key file parameter of replace deleted record, which means start from the bottom and replace valid records in holes above, right? Now my deleted records are growing from the bottom. So in my simple example, we move record 100 to record 1,
yeah,
and we're done. We had to move one record versus 99 records.
Why is it important that the records are in a certain order?
It was more for an issue, I would say, years ago. You may need to see the arrival sequence. When did orders come in? How do you process that? So right? The last one isn't the first one you order or process. Most applications nowadays are reading those records by a specific key, and so they don't need to know the order. Okay. It does really just depend on the applications, though, rather if you need it in arrival sequence or if you do not.
Yeah, in data access, we used to see a lot of customers complaining that they're not getting their records back in arrival sequence, but I haven't seen a case like that in, you know, 5-10 years now.
Holly, how would a customer know if they need their things in arrival sequence or not for when they run this command?
So an easy way to know is if the file is set to that reuse deleted records. If that is set to yes, then you've already told the system you don't need to keep the file in arrival sequence. If that parameter is set to no, then clients need to talk with their application team, with their vendors, and to confirm whether they need it in arrival or not.
Okay, that makes sense. Yeah, because I was reading a little bit about this last night, and there are a few options with the command that I thought, wow, you'd really want to make sure that you ran this with just the right options. And I didn't know if there was a way for someone to kind of analyze their file to say, what are the right options to run when I run this command?
Yeah, that reuse deleted records and needing to know if it's arrival sequence or not would be the main thing that you would want to look at before running the reorg.
Okay.
The other parameter to really consider is the rebuild access path parameter. So again, back in the day, people would want to rebuild their access paths. It just rebuilds your indexes, gets a nice binary tree for us, and reorg was one of the methods they used to do that. But that requires a lot of downtime, and users can't use the files while we're rebuilding. And nowadays systems are 24/7. They can't have that downtime. And so the rebuild access path parameter set to no means that we're just going to maintain the index while the reorg is running. If we move a record, we're going to go out to the index and make sure it's in the correct order. We move that. We don't rebuild anything at the end. And so if you're needing to end and restart this, you want to make sure that your application is available to users right away. You'd want to make sure that rebuild access path is set to no so that those access paths are maintained and ready if you need to end the reorg.
How would someone know that before they even start running the command if they need to end and restart? Like if they're saying to themselves, gosh, if this runs a certain amount of time, I may need to end and restart this. Is that what you're talking about?
For nightly saves or right your weekly saves, you may not be able to save if the reorg is running because it has a lock on the file.
Sure.
So a lot of people will need to end the job and kind of restart during certain applications or batch runs.
Is that a common case that you guys get, folks calling in because they're worried they need to cancel their reorg? Or what are some of the common issues or errors that you see with these reorgs?
You know, Alex, just to jump on this, that's actually the first and almost only question that popped into my head when you first said that you'd reached out to Holly and she wanted to talk about reorganized physical file member was why? Because I'd really never, in BRMS we use it once in a while, but it never occurred to me that if given the chance, Holly would say, hey, I really want to cover this. This must be a pretty big deal.
It is. And mainly there's kind of two flavors. One is that the reorg is taking too long. We've seen it right where it could run for days without ending. That's where we talk about using the key file and the replace deleted record. Certainly would be where we would suggest if you can use that. The other part is where the reorg finished and it didn't give us back our space. Why? And so if you remember, our goal is to get all of the deleted records to the bottom. And so we can move our end of file indicator. If you have users using your file and we need to insert a new record and we go to the end of the file, now we can't give you back any space because you've inserted to the bottom and we can't just move our end of file and chop everything at the bottom.
Oh, so you might start this, you know, let's say you have a million records and half of them have been deleted. So you really want to clean this thing up and you kick this thing off and it cleans up 499,000 records and it's going along. But then somebody else starts using it and adds a member right at the bottom. That becomes 1,000,001, even though you've cleaned up half of it. It's now just as long as it was.
Correct.
And it can't grab that last. What's the reason it can't grab that last member and go, oh, just one more thing?
So what it does is at the beginning of the reorg, the system builds a map and says, here are all of the deleted records, and I'm going to move this record here, this record there, right? And as it's going through this map, it doesn't know about anything that has happened after it built this map.
Okay.
Once it goes through the map once, it does look and say, okay, what was done while I was running? And it builds another map and says, okay, let's move these. And we only do that twice. We only build this map twice. After the second time, if we say, oh, I still can't give you back your space, the reorg's just going to end and say, we finished, but the estimated amount of space was less than what we, you know, thought we were going to give you, right?
Yeah, I mean, to me, Holly, it sounds like this would be a common call to get on a weekend, right? Because that's when the system would be most available and you can get those exclusive locks on tables. Is that true?
It is. Most of the time, clients just run it over the weekend. But with reorg while active, it allows them to run this during the week while people are using it and having less of a need to get that maintenance window. But if we are unable to give you back your space because new inserts are coming in to the bottom of the file, the recommendation is to just kick off the reorg again. I suggest back to back, right? As soon as one ends, you kick it off again. And hopefully you will get a window where we can run fast enough, give you back your space before a new insert comes along.
How much faster does it run that second time?
It really depends on the activity that has happened since the reorg started, but all of our deleted records should be closer to the bottom, and we're only having to move the records that happened after the reorg started. Some clients can still not run this while active because their file is too much heavily used. But your maintenance window now should be a few hours versus days in the old days, right? So we still do a lot of our work. We can prepare the file, get as much deleted records to the bottom. So your maintenance window doesn't need to be as large.
Hmm. Okay.
And Kurt, for folks that are more, that want to have some documentation to hold on to, are there going to be some links that folks can refer to before they try to run reorg?
Yeah, Holly sent me 3 links that we're going to put into the description of this podcast that people can read to learn more about a reorganized physical file member. And I'm going to be using those too because, you know, in the database, in the BRMS area, even though we reuse records, if somebody goes through a process, and maybe this is another question for you, Holly, is it kind of what can happen to your system where you decide I need to do this, you know, like after an upgrade or something like that. But there are cases, for example, in BRMS where someone will run a big cleanup and all of a sudden they'll have a large number of empty records. And that's a really good time to clean it up, even if we reuse them, because I think just Holly can tell me that the answer is that the smaller your database file is, the quicker it is to put anything in there. That's probably faster to have a small file than to be reusing old records in a bigger file.
Yeah, your performance gain is going to be more in when you're reading the file, because as you're reading that file, we still have to pull in that deleted record, right? And say, oh, this is deleted. I'm not going to give you that. It's still part of that. Inserting, we should just be able to insert, whether it's a small or big file.
What are like the top three events where you would go back to the customer preemptively if you could and go, hey, now that you've done this, you should really run reorg physical file member?
Anytime they're doing large purges, so cleaning up deleted or cleaning up older data, right? I want to get rid of anything that is 5 years old, 10 years old. They should really look at running a reorg and cleaning up that space. The other reason why I would suggest is if they're getting close to any system limits. So are you getting close to the number of maximum records in a file or the maximum size that a file can be? If you reach that max, you're not going to be able to insert any new data. So you may need to run a reorg to condense and clean that up.
If you hit that, it's probably not going to be at a very convenient time for you to then be doing that.
Right. So you certainly want to be looking at the system limits and monitoring how close you are to any of those file limits.
Is there an easy way for customers to do that preemptively so that they know, hey, I should be running this reorganize against, say, this certain set of files? Is there some check that's maybe running that can recommend to customers that they do this?
So from system limits, the system will monitor your file, and any file that is 90% or greater, once a row is inserted into system limits, we send a message to QSIS Opper that you can monitor for. Other clients will look at system limits directly themselves. There's the system partition stats that will give you this detail that they could query and look at, whether it's monthly or quarterly, to understand how their files are used and where they're getting close to those limits.
So Holly, have there been any changes to the way reorganized physical file members work that customers should be aware of?
The only thing I will mention is that last year, development came out and changed how those records are moved when you use allow, cancel, yes. So before, we would actually delete a row and reinsert. So there would be a moment in time where your record was deleted. And if you have other jobs that are needing to read that, they could fail because that record was actually deleted. And 2023 development changed that, and we no longer under the covers delete and insert. We just do a move. So your record is never gone from the file. Your user jobs no longer have to manage that. But that did change how we work. And so now reorgs are taking longer. We may use more record space at the end to move records around. So I would certainly suggest clients go out and look at the memo to users, which has the details of what was changed in 2023 when running these reorgs.
So Holly, that was great. So I was not aware of all the complexity surrounding the reorganized physical file member command. Just generally, while we have you on, I'd just like to learn a little bit more about how you work with database stuff. Customers might be interested in how you recreate certain database scenarios and print. If somebody calls in and they say, hey, how do I configure a printer? It's really easy for me to recreate that because I can just imagine that I have a printer and run commands against it or whatever. In database, how do you recreate customer scenarios where you might have a huge file that's not working and maybe you have a customer that is really unwilling or unable to send you their database to be able to test on? When do you decide that you need to recreate a customer scenario, and how do you do that in database?
So kind of depends on the situation and error. We use a lot of trap code. So the developer is building a trap code that when this error happens, dump this information. And we send clients save files for them to capture the information we need. We do that quite a bit. Because of the complexity of the database, we're not going to be able to recreate it in-house because it's unique to their application, their file,
sure.
Right, the use. We also will be able to get a layout of their files, and then our development team has a tool that will populate the files to get them large or, right, to try and mimic their environment. We are successful sometimes in recreating those types of problems,
yeah.
But it just depends on the code we're in.
Okay, that's interesting. It makes sense that there'd be special code that in certain cases wouldn't be running all the time, but in certain cases you'd say, hey, put this on. It sounds like the trap code is something you put on, and then in a certain database scenario, it's going to be kicking out extra logs and information for why a certain thing is happening.
Correct. Yep. It is unique to that problem. So the developer builds that trap code new every time based on the situation, based on where the error is happening. Generally has to develop that new every time. Yep.
Okay. So it's not just like an option you can turn on when you're running that like grabs a little bit of extra data. That's cool.
The only information here I'll add, my goal when I started here in IBM was to work for 5 years on the database team, get to know the database,
yeah,
and then be a DBA right somewhere else. After working with DBAs, I realized I enjoyed this side of the fence, and I've never left.
You know what? That's so funny, Holly, because I had the same idea when I first started working for IBM. I thought, I'll get this on my resume. It'll look great. And then I'll do a job hop because that's where you get the salary boost, right? But it was just too much fun. You know, these little puzzles land on my desk all day. And I've worked with so many great people. I was never motivated to look for work anywhere else.
Yeah, I never was either. It's interesting when you get good enough at a certain area that it just feels great to come in every day and solve those little puzzles. Well, Holly, again, I want to thank you for coming in and joining us on today's episode. And Alex, thanks for recommending that we do our second episode with Holly.
Yeah, my pleasure. I learned a whole lot, and I think our customers will too. So that was great, Holly. Thank you very much.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Until next time, thanks for joining us on You, Me, and IBM I.